ready to go.
Well, if you're glad to be here this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good to see all of you. We appreciate every one of you being here this morning. I'm looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in our hearts while we're assembled together. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. If everyone will, let's please stand. We want to welcome all of those that are listening by way of broadcast. We appreciate y'all tuning in this morning and just looking forward to God coming down and being God among us. How I need Him, how you need Him, we all need Him this morning. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Titus Crisp, if he will, to open us in prayer.
Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, once again for another wonderful and beautiful day. God, you bless us with an opportunity and a privilege, Lord, to gather together in your house today. Lord, I love this people, and thank you so much for letting us be here. Lord, I pray most of all that you'd be here today. God, that we'd make you welcome in your house. Lord, we'd put everything else aside and clear hearts and minds of all other things outside of here and just get our hearts and minds set and focused upon you for a little while. Lord, we'd pull up a seat at your table, God, and feast upon the Word of God and let you speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you and mold us and make us into what you'd have us to be, that we might grow and mature in Christians. And Lord, we'd just be what you'd have us to be. God, we need you. Lord, I believe we need you today more than we ever have before. Lord, we need your touch. We need your help. Lord, we can gather together in this building. We can go through the motions. We can sing the songs. We can read your word. We can go through the motions, Lord, just like anybody else. But oh, how we need your touch, need your help. How we need you to step in, God, and give the increase, God, that you do what we cannot do for ourselves. All we can do is go through the motions. But God, if you'll give the touch and the help today, God, we could truly be changed today and closer to you. And what I pray, especially if everyone here lost today, never been saved by the grace of God. God, the Holy Ghost, to deal with their heart and show them their need to be saved. And pray that today would be the day of salvation in their lives. God, they'd be saved by the grace of God and never, ever have to worry about dying and going to hell ever again. Lord, I pray that you bless Brother John as he stands to preach. God, give him a touch and the power of God that he needs today. Bless all the singing that's done, everything said and done. I pray that your will be done and that you'd be pleased with it all. We give you all the honor and all the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we humbly pray. And amen.
the throne room. mercy seat he placed it. It was salvation for us all.
I got one announcement to make this morning. Happy Valentine's Day. Amen. Will y'all be my Valentine? Amen. Good to see all of you. I do want to say this in front of God and everybody. Debbie, I love you. Happy Valentine's, baby. She's been my strength down through the years. She's been the reason that I've done some of the things that I've done in life. And without her in my life, I don't know where I'd be. I'm thankful for my Valentine. Amen.
I go first.
Just any day now,
with a longing in my heart for His appearing. I'll gladly leave behind these trials here below. For this journey has been hard, and I'm
Sheffield singing for us. Come on. There she comes. Ron Bagley, would you just stand and pray for us while we're doing some things up here?
Lord, I thank you for this time that we have together. God, I thank you, Lord, that we've just heard that help is not far away, Lord. The problems that each one of us face are real. God, you know how real they are in our own heart, in each individual mind. God, I thank you, Lord, that there is hope. God, there is help. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that stronghold and the promises, God, that I can cling to in the time when the promises don't look very good right now. They're too far off. God, I thank you, Lord, that I can depend on your promise and your love. God, I pray, Lord, as we're getting further into service, God, would you let our hearts, Lord, get in tune with the communication that you have with Brother John. May that same communication talk to my heart and the ones around me. Thank you for loving me like you have, God, in your name. Amen.
Appreciate all of you being here this morning. God's mighty good to us and all that he does in our lives. And I sure appreciate God's goodness toward me. Deb and I were getting ready for church this morning, and we got a new little electronic device at the house. It's called Alexa. Brother Leo inspired me with that, but not really. But anyway, thought I'd say that. So this morning, I came out into the kitchen where the Alexa sits, and I said, "Hey, Alexa, play the Isaacs." And so the music began, and they played a song about picking up rocks and throwing them at people, and they played another one. Then they played one that I've sung of theirs, and Debbie said, "John, you need to sing that this morning." And the Lord did touch my heart about it and thought that we'd sing this. I'm so glad that when life just is not making sense and all around you seems like everything's falling apart, I'm glad to know that there's a God in heaven that has everything in control, and he's doing everything according to his plan and his ways. Does not matter what it may be, it's good to know that God's at work in our lives. Amen. This place that I'm in feels so unfair. This weight on my chest seems more than I can bear. I can't see where this is going to end, but I'll stay on my knees till then, if that's what it takes to break my will, to make me still enough to hear your voice. Then I'll trust in you, O Lord, if that's what it takes to realize without you I'm just going the wrong way, living life in vain. Lord, humble me a little more each day, if that's what it takes. This is not the path I'd ever choose for me. Lord, you see my bigger picture and the man that I can be. So Lord, I'll give you all my fears, and I'll cry a few more tears, if that's what it takes to break my will, to make me still enough to hear your voice. Then I'll trust in you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians 12. When you find that in your Bible, if you will, stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Second Corinthians chapter number 12. I sure appreciate what God does among us and in us, and does something special for somebody, and then they use that something special for God to be God among us. And I sure do appreciate the Vickers family and them singing for us this morning, and the talent that God has given them. I do appreciate. And old Capo's with us this morning. Where's Capo? There's Capo. Amen. He's a Guthrie. Amen. Amen. I want to preach something, be honest with you. Earlier this week, I started working on a Valentine message. Was working well with it, too. I mean, it was coming together pretty good. I already had my mind made up that I was going to preach that. And then God says, no. And while I was in prayer, I was asking God, I said, well, God, please speak to me of what you'd have me to preach. And I picked up my Bible and began reading, and I was in this chapter and began looking at these verses, and was reminded of something God did in my heart years ago. And it brought me to this message that I'm about to preach for you. And God says, that's what I want you to preach. So that's why I'm preaching this message this morning. Because God told me to. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. This is one of the most important passages of Scripture for every child of God. Does not matter how long you've been saved or anything like that. It's an important chapter. And there's a lot of revelation in this chapter. If you'll read with me beginning in verse number 1. Paul writes it like this. He said, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 8. If you'll read that again with me, I want to highlight something out of that verse and entitle my message from that verse. He said, for this thing, he's talking about that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan. He said, for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice. Now here it is, that it might depart from me. It. That's what I want to preach on this morning. It. If you'll bow with us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning as we come before you, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for all that our hearts have experienced. Thank you, dear God, for using every person that has assembled themselves together already this morning. Lord, just seeing them come and gather together in the name of Jesus Christ has blessed my heart. Lord, to hear the good singing, Lord, of the choir that you assembled together. Then the group that sang for us, oh God, thank you for being so good to us and allowing us to experience the things of God in our lives. Now, Father, as we partake of the Word of God, may we do it, Lord, in a way, Father, that would benefit every one of us. God, I believe with all of my heart that you have something for every person that's in this room. God, you know who is here. You know them by name. You know, Lord, you've known them before they were ever born. And I pray, God, the blessings of the Lord to rest upon every one of us even now. And we'll thank you and praise you for everything that you'll accomplish and do. For it's in Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. And all of God's people said, you can be seated this morning. I have a habit of when I work on a message, I have a habit of putting a little text box up at the top of the outline that I work on. And within that text box, I'll put the title of the message, the verses that I'm going to be using. But I'll also put the date that God either gave me or began giving me that message. And the date of this message is dated October the 12th, 2018. I have never preached this message until today, that God instructed me to do. My mom had just went through back surgery in that year, 2018, and had just moved into our home with us. In just a few days beyond this date, I didn't know it at the time, but just in a few days to come in my life, I was going to undergo open heart surgery. Didn't know that that was in front of me, but God had me being prepared out of this text. And I must say that ever since the open heart surgery, I've not been the same that I once was. That was a thing that happened in my life that scarred my life for the rest of my life. And it's been an adaptation. I've had to adapt to different things, had to realize that different things are going to be different. And to be honest with you, would to God that it was not a part of my life. But it is. At the writing of this text, Paul has been saved for quite some time. I studied the time life of the life of Paul one time, and I discovered that Paul lived to be about 61, 62 years of age. He got saved when he was around 30 years of age. And he'd been saved about 32 years, something like that. And he began writing. God saved him. And if you've been saved any length of time, you can identify with this passage of Scripture that's before us this morning. I could have entitled this message, "The Thorn." I could have entitled it, "God's Grace." But as I studied in my personal studies, that word "it" just became more powerful to me of how Paul referred to that thorn, "it." We all have "its" in our lives. We've all been affected by "it." I believe that there's a reason that it's not named in our text. There's some who have supposed and conjectured that the "it" was an infirmity in Paul's eyes from some other things that he mentioned. That his eyes, something was wrong with his eyesight. He had thick Coca-Cola bottle bottom glasses, maybe, and his eyes were huge when he looked through them, and it was strange. He was a strange individual to look at. And some have thought, well, maybe it's his eyesight. Some have thought, well, maybe it was his stature. Paul was a little man. He was not a huge man. He was a little. I believe he was 5'6" and a half myself. And Paul, being the man that he was, Paul writes about this thorn that was given to him. And he calls it "it." This thing. "It." I don't want you to imagine a little short stub thorn. When Paul wrote this text, he was accustomed to the thorns of the East. And those thorns of the East would be anywhere from 5 to 8 inches long, and they would be stout. You remember when Jesus Christ hung on before he went to the cross, they had plaited a crown of thorns and woven a crown out of it. They placed that thorny crown upon the head of Jesus Christ. And then them being the vicious, mean soldiers that they were, they took a reed and then beat that crown of thorns down into the brow of Jesus Christ. Thorns that long and stout, they wouldn't break easily. And they may have even been green at the time that they were able to weave them together and form a crown. Thorns are a part of the curse that we experience in life. Whenever Adam and Eve fell in that garden, God walked up to Adam and he said, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake." And the very first word out of his mouth was, "Thorns and thistles shall it render unto you." Thorns. Thorns. We all experience these thorns. Doesn't matter who you are, what station in life you live. We all know we can identify with this text in front of us this morning. When Mr. Webster, that great master of the English language, wanted to define the word thorn, he defined it this way. He said, "A tree or shrub armed with spines or sharp woody shoots. He went on to define a thorn as anything troublesome, as great difficulties or impediments. And then he added this definition, worldly cares. Things which prevent the growth of good principles. That's what he called a thorn. He cited the parable of the sower and the seed, where some seed fell among thorns. I want to use this thorn this morning in what Paul has written, and I want to preach on this thought, it. I want to first deal with the reason for this thorn. This was Paul. Paul began his life as Saul of Tarsus. And Saul gave his pre-salvation credentials in his fleshly achievements when he said this. He said in the book of Philippians, he said, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Then he said in the book of Acts 22, verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God. Paul had bragging rights in his flesh. The way he was raised to live for God. He was raised to obey the law, and he did so. He became a Pharisee, and he names himself as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I mean, if there was anybody that you would point to and say, there's a man after God's heart, it would be Paul. Then he met Jesus in Acts chapter 9. Saul became Paul. And Jesus met Paul like he met no other man. He personally appeared to him, and Saul was converted at that very moment. Just one glimpse of Jesus was all it took for Saul. And he became Paul, the mighty man for God. That same zeal that he had before he was saved carried him into his saved life. And there was no other man like this missionary by the name of Paul. Brother Bud Stiltner mentioned him when he was with us the other day. And he talked about how Paul, about his zeal, that Paul had spiritual ADHD, and how that Paul was always on the go and looking for another avenue, another reason to preach, another reason to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul, this great man of God. And I said all of that to say this. If Paul had an it, so will we. So will we. Paul was just another man that God had chosen. Paul didn't know why. He was on his way to Damascus. He was going to have some more Christians killed. He had letters in his hands. God had another purpose for him. Something else for Paul. Something greater for Paul to do. Something better, something bigger, something more of God to do in his life. And he knocked Paul off of his high horse. And Paul got saved. Paul, this mighty man, the reason, I'm talking about the reason for this it. And he says it in verse number 7. He starts the verse and ends the verse with the very same words. Lest I should be exalted above measure. It was given to me this thorn in my flesh. It was personal to Paul. It was powerful to Paul. It was prickly in Paul's life. It was a pride thorn. It was given because Paul had revelations given to him that no other man had revealed to him. I mean, we read about him in Paul's writings. These revelations that he was shown by God, that God showed no other man but Paul. But he had a problem with pride, lest I should be exalted above measure. I've got a sneaking suspicion. I mean, this thing just, every once in a while I think about it, and I've got a sneaking suspicion that every one of us have a problem with pride. I believe every one of us, in some fashion or form, in some way, we have a problem with pride. There's even a thing known as humble pride. I'm so proud that I'm humble. Every one of us. And you know what God says about pride? I want you to listen to this. God hates pride. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth. Listen to what God said. He said, do I hate pride? I hate pride, God said. God's not a God of pride. That's the devil's domain. And I've got a sneaking suspicion that I have to contend with it all through my life. Somewhere something will raise up in me and I think, well, I've done this. I've accomplished this. I've been able to do this, and all the while not realizing, had it not been for the Lord, had it not been for God working, I'd be nothing. And you know what God said about pride? He said that he was going to break it. In Leviticus 26:19, I found this verse this morning. God said this, and I will break the pride of your power. We get mighty proud of what we're able to do, what we're able to accomplish. Young, old, male, female, doesn't matter. Married, not married, it doesn't matter. We all get proud. We all get to claiming things that only God, had it not been for God working, we would not be able to do it. The reality of this thorn, that was the reason, was pride, but the reality of this thorn was this was Paul, this thorn. And notice he said, there was given to me. In other words, that was a gift. That was given to me, this thorn in my flesh. A messenger of Satan. He did not say that Satan gave me this. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, which was a messenger of Satan. I never have understood that little phrase, that terminology that Paul used when he wrote about that thorn, and he said it was a messenger of Satan. And I was studying 2 days ago on this message again, and it came to me just simply, a messenger talks to you. That's what a messenger does. He just talks to you. He tells you things. He brings you a report. Paul had this thorn, and there was a message in that thorn, but yet it was Satan giving him that message. I can almost hear the words from this messenger. You'll never be able to preach now. You'll never be as good as you could have been without that thorn. One of the greatest studies in all the Word of God on Christian suffering is found in the oldest book of our Bible, the book of Job. Job was an upright man. He eschewed evil. He followed God with all of his heart. And yet there was a day in which I want you to listen to how the Bible describes what happens in Job's life. You know the story. Every one of you in this room know the story. Listen to what it said. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Listen to it. And there came a messenger unto Job and said. Then it says, and there came another. And while he was yet speaking, yet there came another. And while he was speaking, there came another. And these messengers of Satan kept speaking to Paul and bringing him bad news. That's what a thorn does. That's what a thorn makes us think that it is, that it's bad, that it's bad news for our lives. This thorn is bad. It's bad. It's bad. I need it out of my life. I'll never be able to preach. I'll never be able to serve God had it not been. If this thorn wasn't in my life, I could do so much greater. A messenger of Satan. Some ideas about these messengers of Satan. They tell you bad news. They're many. They keep talking to you. They're relentless. They won't let up. They'll talk to you every day of your life if they can keep you down. These messengers of Satan, they're personal. These messengers came directly and got in Job's face and told him, I got bad news for you, buddy. And Job stood there. Ten grave sides over there to one side. All of his children, 10 children buried. And every one of them fresh dirt over the mounds. Set on a heap of ashes. His flesh broke out with boils from his feet to the crown of his head. And boy, those messengers was messing with his mind. They were messing with him and they were telling him all kind of things. And you know what Job said? You know what it said Job did? It said that he got on his face and he worshiped God. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord has given. Now the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul said, 3 times I prayed about this thorn. I'm talking about the reality. You know, thorns have got with those thorns in your life, they got a way of driving you to your knees when you wouldn't normally get on your knees. They've got a way of getting you to humble yourself and getting down before God and saying, God. And this is what I noticed about Paul. He got on his face before God. And it was so big in his life. He didn't even like to talk about it. He called it, it. This it. This thing. It. It was such a plague to the mind of Paul that he just did not believe he'd ever be what God wanted him to be. It's killing me. I don't even like to talk about it. And he only prayed three times. And you know Paul knew about the verses where it said that you ought to pray without ceasing. You know that Paul was a man of prayer. You know that heaven's ear was open to this man, Paul. And he prayed three times at God. Listen what he said. Take it from me. Take it. Get it out of my life. Get this thing out of me. Isn't that what we always want? We just want it, that thing, gone. Get rid of it. I didn't mean to, but yesterday the ladies had a Bible study and they had a little Zoom meeting. And Debbie was in the front bedroom trying her best to get logged on. And her and technology sometimes don't gee-haw too well. And she was trying her best. And then I heard her talking. And our dog got excited. She thought somebody was at the house. She went in there, yep, 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 yep. And I was trying my best to get Sugar. I was, Sugar. And I was not creeping. I was not eavesdropping. But I couldn't help but to hear some of the ladies talking about some things that plague them. That, you know, we've all got that. We've got those it's. We've got those things in our lives that, God, if this wasn't a part of my life. That song I just sang, this is not the path I'd ever choose for me. But God led us. And there it is. It. I don't like it. It's hurting. It's killing me. It may be family affairs. It may be a personal thing. There's some that think, oh, I can never do anything for God because I'm just too backwards. I'm just too awkward. I'm just too shy. I'm just too beside myself. I'll never be able. No, that may be the very thing that God will use in your life to do better things. Yet. Take this it out of my life. You notice that God never names what it is. The Bible never does tell us. It could have been his eyes. It could have been his short stature. He could have had a temper. I don't know what it was. But you know why I believe the Bible never names it? It's because if the Bible named it, there would be some of us who would say, well, that's not a part of my life, so that don't apply to me. And then there would be others that would develop a Paul complex. And if it did name it and they had it, they'd say, oh, I'm like Paul. There'd be pride again. So God leaves it blank. So you know exactly what it is. You know what it is. Paul knew what it is in his life. You know what it is in your life. You know what that thing, that it, that you don't even like talking about. That you don't even like the name. You don't like the subject to come up. You don't. What Whatever the it was, it plagued him. It tormented him. It surrounded him. When you get up in the morning, there it is. When you go to bed at night, there it is. It. It's just a reality. The revelation about that it. God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. You know, I thought a lot about grace this morning. I thought about it, and I thought, well, what we need is a good definition of what grace is. You know what I believe about grace? I believe it is impossible to define it. I don't believe any of man's words would ever do it merit or justice. And listen to me. Listen what he said. My grace. You can't get this from nobody else. You're not going to get this from a family member. You're not going to get this from the brethren. You're not going to get this from money. You're not going to get this from a new car. You're not going to get this from material possessions. It's my grace, God calls it. My grace, my grace. My grace is sufficient for you. That word sufficient just simply means it's more than enough. After Paul talked to the Lord about it, then he says this, most gladly, therefore, I will glory in persecutions, necessities, distresses, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. I know one thing that grace will teach us. It'll teach us just how weak we really are. But thank God, grace goes a lot deeper than that. It shows us how strong He is. Sis, you come on to the piano, please. I feel God winding us down right here. I'm not making fun. Please do not misunderstand what I'm about to do or say. How many of you know if I were to name the name of David Ring? How many of you know who I'm talking about? David Ring. Tremendous preacher. God used him in a great way. David Ring's got cerebral palsy. I don't even know if I suppose David's still preaching. I really don't know. I've not heard any account of him. I've seen him of days long ago preaching, and boy, the power of God on that man. And his hands were all twisted from the cerebral palsy. And I'm not making fun. His hands were all twisted and he talked funny. And I remember David Ring getting up one time and he said, look at me, people, look at me, look at me, people. He said, I can't talk plain. I got cerebral palsy. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? I just know that it. In your life, God's got a purpose for it. God's going to use it. So you can learn more about Him and be used in a greater way than you ever thought you were ever able. It. Shortly after God gave me this thought, I was scheduled for a regular 6-month checkup with my heart, and they tell me that I've inherited this DNA from my dad. He died when he was 42 with a second major heart attack. And I remember the first time Dad had a heart attack. I don't remember how old I was at the time. But the doctor let me sneak in. They wouldn't even let people go in the rooms back then. And the doctor snuck me into my dad's room because Mama told me the other day that my dad was wanting to see me. So the doctor snuck me and my sister in. It was back when they had them big old tents. And he pulled that tent back and stuck us up under that tent. Dad got better and came home. And I said all that to say this, that I've inherited that from my dad. And so I went for that 6-month checkup. And they said, they did an EKG. They said something's wrong. They did something, some other tests, and finally had to do the cath. And they went and did the cath, and I was expecting, well, they're going to stick a couple of stents in like they did the time before. And I'll go home and I'll preach Sunday and everything will be okay. That's what I did in 08. That's when I had my first stents put in. The doctor came out and he said, you got to have open heart surgery. You got four blockages, and we've got to schedule it right now. I wasn't expecting that. I didn't want that. And I got so depressed here a little while back. I got thinking about how many surgeries I've had in my life. I got so depressed. I walked around the house with the mullet grubs for about 2 days just thinking about how many surgeries I've had on this old body. Had the surgery and was in the hospital a while and came out. And I didn't know. I remember Brother Terry, you telling Brother Mike, I think it was, he's going to be down for a long time. He's going to be out for a long time. God, it seemed like months. But then God's grace. But then God's grace. I could say it like this. But God. But then God's grace stepped in. And here I stand today. Still from the bottom of my heart trying my best. And sometimes I walk away from here feeling like my best has been my worst. I get so aggravated with me. I'm thinking, God, you could never use somebody like me. But His grace is sufficient. As we stand across the